Okay, well, it had been a few years since I went to the wilds. Been before, and certainly been blessed by it, but as far as a year where I needed it as much as I did, you know, this year, I don't know if there ever has been one like that. God used it to really put the focus back on Him, you know, right from the first night when the speaker said that His goal was to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the glory of Christ. You know, that something that I really needed, you know, to just be in that atmosphere, to think about God and to get more of the focus on Him. I also learned some just from the God and I time on Sunday, just seeing the role that God has for His church and how He designs it, you know, so that it can be a place for the growth of the body in general, but also of individual believers. You know, I'm just looking forward to how God's going to use that in my life to be able to, you know, help me to grow and also to be used in the lives of others.
Amen. I just wanted to share something that the Lord taught me while we were up there. The speaker talked about the holiness of God, and it's something that's not talked about a lot in our culture. And he gave one of the best explanations of why a believer should live holy. And he was in John chapter 17. And one of the points that really helped me, he was talking about the fact that holiness means that we are set apart, and that we are set apart to go on a mission into the world. And holiness isn't isolation. A lot of people have this idea that in order to not be affected by the world, we just need to kind of clump together in a monastery type sense to where we're not going out, we're not affected by the world. But that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we all get together and we just kind of band together and avoid the world. It means that we live holy in the world. We're sent into the world so that we can show the holiness of God. How else will the world know who God is unless they see Him in our lives? And how else will the world know that God is different and the expectations that He has of the world unless they see the holiness of God in our lives? It was just a very good exposition of that. We have CDs from that weekend. If anybody's interested in it, I think it would be a very beneficial study for you to listen to those. We'll be glad to get that for you.
The main thing, my name's Justin Clark, but the main thing that he talked about last week was, as John and Brother Matt mentioned, was bringing glory to His name. And throughout the week, throughout the sermons and just the God and I time and looking at the scripture that he gave us, the verse right here really summed up how I was living my life, and it really struck me and kind of convicted me a lot about what I was doing. In John chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corner of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So, and basically what I got out of that during my God and I time, I just kind of focused on that one verse. And the Lord told me, I'm put on this earth to bring Him glory. I'm put on this earth to glorify His name. But unless I am dying to self, unless I am dying and letting Christ live through me, I'm not bringing glory to His name. And the whole time I'm bringing glory to myself because I'm in the ground, and I know I'm saved, but I wasn't abiding in Christ. I wasn't dying to myself. I was living for myself. So if y'all could pray for me that I would die to myself every day, not just once a month or once a year when we go to the wilds, but that every day I would get up and die to self so that I can live for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. Any others from the college and career? All right, we'll start with our young people. No particular order, but we need to keep moving, okay? So take whoever wants to jump up here and go first, you come right ahead. And somebody who's going next, be prepared so that when he steps down, you step right up. Step up to the microphone, speak loud.
My name is Daniel Szymanski. I was at the teen retreat. First night, the speaker, Pastor Andy Gleiser, the youth pastor at church up north somewhere, spoke on Matthew 7, 13 and 14, which is on, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." As he was preaching, I was taking notes, And God gave me this question. Are you living in such a way that others are getting pointed to Christ? And what was real neat about that is God gave me that question Friday night. All three messages on Saturday were from Colossians 3. And those were on putting off the old man and putting on the new man. So that, I thought that was really neat that God planned ahead. He's always planning ahead. But that was real neat to see him do that in my life. Another thing that really stood out to me, which I don't know if any of the other teens got this, because this didn't really happen at Teen Weekend. A couple weeks before, I read a passage in Ezekiel 3, that where God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Through godly parents training me, I have, for the most part, lived in such a way that others will know I'm different, that I am a Christian. So that is important. That's very important. But God showed me I need to be doing more than just living like him. I need to also be speaking as he would speak. And that's one problem I've had. I'm okay living like a Christian, but not speaking like a Christian. I'm not very comfortable talking about Christ. So it's my prayer that I'll have the boldness, the obedience, and submission to when he tells me to speak. And I encourage you all, make this your prayer, that you would be submissive. Pray for all these young people, that they would be submissive to what God has, so that others can come to know Christ.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Dyer, for those who don't know me. And on Saturday afternoon, Brother Andy, he talked about cutting off carnality. And what he meant was cutting off things like idolatry, anger, and wrath, and so on. And he referred to them as like tumors, and he said that any second they could kill you, they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger until eventually you die. So he talked about cutting those off, and then he talked about what you put on after you cut them off, things like kindness, compassion, and meekness, and so on after that. And then he got to verse 14 out of Colossians 3, 4 through 14, and it says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." And this really spoke out to me because as a Christian, it's hard to remember all of the things you're supposed to put on. Like he had a long list out of Colossians, and at the end it says, put on love. If you think about it, if you really love someone, you'll be kind to them. And if you really love someone, you'll be compassionate. And so it really helped me because I have a horrible memory anyway. So when it's hard to remember all those things, it's easy just to remember, put on love. So just pray that I'll remember that.
My name is Josiah Patterson, and of course I had fun, but this morning he preached on Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and it was, "Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And would y'all pray that when people look at me, they would see Christ and not me?
That's good.
Hi, my name is Ansley Busey, and I learned that God was telling me to focus in his world, but I also learned a verse in Matthew 5, verse 14, which Josiah said, and I want everyone to pray for me to focus on his world as well.
Hi, Hi, I'm Jesse, and like Josiah said, he preached this morning on being the light of the world, and I realized that I really wasn't shining as bright. I wasn't hiding the fact that I was a Christian, but I wasn't exactly pronouncing that I was one either. And he also talked Saturday about dressing on in the new man, and one of the things he said to put on was humbleness. And that is something that I struggle with. He said that you're not entitled to your own way, which is something that I always want. I want my way or highway. I really don't care what you think. So, and then, which is something I need to work on. That's not good. And something else he said to put on was kindness, and which is also something else I struggle with. I have a very sharp tongue, and I tend to not think about what I say before I speak, and I very easily hurt others. So that is something that I definitely need to work on. Something else he said was to not be distracted by Jesus, to be distracted with Jesus's work and not to get focused on other things, which with college starting up and all that, it's very easy to get distracted. So if you'll just pray with me, pray for me for that.
Amen. Hi, I'm Christina, and this weekend, of course, was really fun, as always. But yesterday, Brother Andrew was talking about, he was in Colossians, and was talking about taking off the old man and putting on the new. And even though that I am saved and is a new man in Christ, sometimes we go back to the old man and put on the old clothes when they're weak times. And I realized that a lot of times I'll go back to the old and dirty clothes. And God really spoke to me that I don't need to do that anymore, and I need to wear the new clothes and be the new me that Jesus made me. So if you'll pray for me that I can, I won't have the temptation to put on the dirty clothes anymore.
At the Wilds, I had a really good counselor, and every night he would talk from his experience as a teen that he had pride, and every time he talked about pride, he would look straight at me. So it made an impact. And this morning with the message on being a light, I try to live like a Christian, but when I do, I just get more pride. And I never talk to anyone about it, I just try to look good. And that's the wrong attitude. So I wish that y'all would pray for me that I would be clothed in humility when I talk to people with what I'm doing and while I'm being a light.
Hey, I'm Wyatt Bond, and at the Wilds this weekend, the speaker talked about how we're supposed to be a light into the world, but we can't do that if we put on our old sinful clothes. So if you just pray for me to be a light.
Hi, I'm Clara, and he spoke this morning about shining a light, like a bunch of people have said, and then in God and I Time, he said to read either Matthew 5, 6, or 7, and I decided to start reading almost in the middle of 5, just to mix things up. In verse 11, it talked about how men will revile you, because, I mean, it's part of life, so when you say that you're a Christian and you start shining your light, then people are going to be mean, and people are going to make fun, and but then in the next verse, it gets positive, and it says that if you shine your light, then your reward is great in heaven. And so that's a problem I have, is I try to fit in a lot, and I don't shine my light a lot because I'm scared of people being mean and people reviling against me. And so if you will pray for me that I will shine my light more.
I'm not standing on the stool, by the way. I'm Zeke Busey, for those who don't know me, and as of like almost everybody else, this morning he preached about being a light of the world, and I realized that I'm not really being a very good light. So I just want y'all to pray for me that I will be a better light and shine.
Hello, my name is William Mark, and this week when he was talking in Colossians, and when I was reading along, I noticed that I've been wearing my old man too much, and whenever I try to do it, change back to wearing the new man, I fail, and that I need to humble myself, let God give me kindness toward my siblings, since I don't really do too good with that, and I'm not real patient with them either. Please pray that I do better with that.
This weekend, yesterday, he talked about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, but you have to put on the new man's clothes and not just go back to the old man's clothes. And I want you all to pray for me to put on the new man's clothes and take off the old man's clothes.
Hi, my name is JJ, and I went to the Wilds this weekend for the first time. And what stood out to me is that this morning service was about shining God's light and how we need to show others God's light. And I've been struggling shining God's light. So if you will, pray for me to shine God's light to others.
Hi, I'm Annabeth, and Annabeth Dyer, and I have actually two things to share. God spoke to me in almost like every service, and every God and I time, and yesterday he talked about Colossians 3, changing your clothes, like that everybody else, like a lot of people said, and he said that we're supposed to put on the clothes of compassion, kindness, meekness, humility, but most of all charity, which is love. And without love, we have nothing. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. God spoke to me in this by telling me that I don't need to do all these things to make people like me, like here at church, to show people that I'm good. I need to do it because I genuinely love people like Jesus loves people. And even like everywhere I go, especially at home, I don't do that at home. Because, I mean, I'm at home and y'all aren't at my house. And I just don't treat my siblings like I should all the time. I just need to genuinely love them like Jesus. And, I need y'all to pray for me on that. And yesterday in the song service, God spoke to me in the song service, and it was because it was Matt Herbster's time to lead the singing, and his family sung a song about resting in Jesus, and they lost their mom few months ago, and during the funeral, my mom was watching it live, and I was thinking, I don't know what I would do if that happened to me. And that same day, my mom went to the doctor, and they found something in her lung, and we didn't know what it was. And I really had to trust God in that time. I just wanted to disappear. I didn't know what I would do. And
We didn't even know what it was. It wasn't even anything that would hurt her. And I just reminded me that I needed to trust God in that time, and I just need to trust Him no matter what.
Hey, my name's Evan. Like Josiah and many others said, Brother Andy preached on being a light, and I know that I have not been being a light around people, and I want you to pray that you'd help me be a light to other people and to help me be a better witness to people and show that the Lord's in me, and please, if you'd pray for me to do that.
Hello, I'm Conrad Sick. And over the weekend, Brother Andy was talking about how people hide their light because they are afraid of other people persecuting them. And you should not be afraid, because God will protect you. I want you to pray for me that I will not be afraid when about being a light.
Hey, I'm Lee, for those who don't know me, and when I went to the wilds, one thing spoke to me, verses 8, 9, and 10 of Colossians 3, they say, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And I would like you to pray for me that I would put on the new man clothes and keep off the old man clothes.
Hello, my name is Anna Marie, and like many of them talked about, this morning we learned about being the light of the world, and I know I've been struggling since I go to public school. I have been struggling so hard in being a light, because everybody wants to fit in, right? So, I have really been struggling with being a light to my friends, to the people who don't really know me. I mean, like, I don't even know what they think about me sometimes, but it really shouldn't matter, because God's all you need. So if you would just pray for me about being a light to everyone there.
My name is Jeremiah Patterson, and this morning's service was about being a light, and so I'm not a very good light, so would you always pray for me that I'll be a better light to everybody?
Make me mess up, and I'm not going to be able to speak. This weekend was wonderful. The speaker was great. I got whooped all over the place. But the main things that God really convicted me on was that it's talking about how we need to make Jesus a priority. And I've been doing the basics just to have a clear conscience as far as reading my Bible and praying. But I'm not doing anything extra at all to try to have a personal relationship with Jesus, or to grow in Him, or any of the other things I need to be doing. So I really got convicted on that, and I wish y'all would pray for me about that. And also, when the Herbster family sang last night, I just boo-hooed and boo-hooed to think that these two children, this daughter who sang so beautifully, and the son who played the cello so beautifully, and Matt, whose wife had just passed away, sang so beautifully, and how they just trusted God fully, and how I can have just little itty-bitty things and freak out about it, or get angry about it, or what upset about it, and I'm not trusting God, and I'm not resting in Him. And this family just went through this major trial and how they do. And so I just really got convicted on that also, that I need to just trust God so much more than I have been recently. And I just want to thank all the sponsors who helped pay for the children to go, because as you can see, they all got something really great and spiritual out of it. So we thank y'all very much for that, and thank the church for letting us take them and paying for the gas and the bus and everything else. And I want to thank all these teenagers for going and really hearing what God had to give them this weekend and standing up and saying what that was.
Absolutely. Come on, Christian.
You heard this morning that my brother-in-law Hector was saved.
Amen.
And I just want to praise the Lord for what He did in bringing him here, which was really quite an incredible story. And then how he came to the church. We brought him Wednesday because it was the last time that we were together, so it was had service, just to kind of get him comfortable with the place so that he would come back on Sunday to bring the children by himself. And when he came, he heard the message that really spoke to his heart, and he wanted to come back Sunday. And when he did, he was so touched by how you all received him warmly, and he felt so welcome here. That really was a big part in drawing him to the Lord. And you all were a light to him. And I just want to thank you for that and want to praise the Lord for what he did.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I was... Justin, I'm going to cut this one on. You can cut this one off. And as we were looking around at the group that was there, it became obvious we had the largest group that was there. We carried 34 young people, and we had about a third of the young people who were at the Wilds this weekend. But as I sat and I watched our young people, and I got to see them a lot because they took up a lot of the fireplace room since they were a third. I could look around, and just about everywhere you look, you would see one of our young people. And they all had their Bibles out, and they were all listening. And they were just on the edge of their seat listening to what he had to say. And I don't think they were as concerned with what the preacher was saying. I think they were looking, and they were searching for what the Holy Spirit had to teach them. And I was very impressed with that. Everything about the weekend was beautiful. God gave us perfect weather. I mean, if you're in the mountains and you're in mid-60s weather, you're in perfect weather up there. And I just marveled at the way the kids intermingled, at the way they talked with others. We had opportunities as sponsors to sit and talk with some of the other sponsors. I had an opportunity last night to sit down for about 2 hours with two ladies who brought a youth group up, the first time they had ever been to the Wilds. And she said, have y'all ever been here before? I said, yes, ma'am, about 19 times. And so we had an opportunity to sit there, you know, and I was just telling them the things that we'd seen over the years and how it had made an effect on our teens' lives. But one of the things that I talked with them about is what we were going to be doing in our service when we got back on Sunday. And she said, oh, that sounds perfect. That's what we're going to do too. And so, I mean, just the way that our young people present themselves when they're at a place like that, everybody sees it. Now, you heard each one of them. Most everybody got the same message this morning about light, wanting to be a better light. And I think that's what we all need to be. Is a better light. As a matter of fact, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about wasn't too long ago I went to a Braves game. And as I went to the Braves game, I opened up my drawer and pulled out one of my old faded Braves t-shirts and dug around the house and actually found one of Zeke's Braves baseball hats and put it on my head, and I was ready to go to the game. Well, One of the other young men who went, he went all out. He went and bought him a jersey. You know, one of the jersey t-shirts with a name and number. Not his name on the back, but the name of one of the players on the back and a number. He didn't know who the guy was, but he did have it on. And we were there. And as we got there, we walked into the stadium and I saw other people wearing, you know, the same type jerseys. But, you know, some people wearing those official jerseys, you know, really not, you know, the ones that cost, you know, an arm and a leg. You might as well have been signed up for the team to get one. But they were wearing those. And as I watched and I looked around, I saw all these people in support of that Braves team. And we loved it. We were having a great time with it. You know, the Braves, they actually won that night. And so it was a good time that we were there. But one of the things that really stood out to me was there's a lot of people here wearing the t-shirt. But there's only a few people on the team. Now, it's designed that way. I mean, they weren't going to pick me out of the stands and say, why don't you come pitch it? You know, they weren't going to do something like that. But the fact is there were a lot of people wearing the uniform. And as I got to listening to the speaker this morning as he was talking about light and not sharing our light, I thought about how many people in church wear the uniform. But they're not on the team. Now, when I say that, I mean they may be wearing the uniform of Christianity. They may be showing up at church on Sunday morning and they may be lost. They may not have ever made that connection and made that personal time that they asked Jesus to be their Savior. But it's much deeper than that too, because some people are in church and they're wearing uniform and they've actually got the contract, if you want to say it that way. They've made that security, but they're just here as a supporter. You know, we've been praying for years for revival in our church, and I'm impressed with the little bits and little spurts of revival that we've seen. And I know that God is still working and He's pulling on. But, you know, one of the things that concerns me is there may be a lot of people wearing that uniform and they're supporting. Man, we want to see revival too. But we're not praying for it. We're putting on that uniform. We're here on Sunday and we're saved, but we don't believe it in our hearts. And trust me, it hits me the same way. There's a lot of, you know, I'm a part of that late night Wednesday prayer group, and we've prayed for revival. We started praying for it long before we ever had any revival teaching. We were already praying for it. But even at that, sometimes my faith gets a little weak. Sometimes I'm going, I don't know if the Lord's going to send revival or not. I want Him to, and I know He can. I know He wants to, but sometimes I struggle with that little bit of faith. And I think there's some more people in our church that may be the same way. And I guess what I'm really asking our church to do is let's go beyond the uniforms. Let's go beyond the t-shirts. Let's go beyond the show of support and let's be a part of the team. Now I know everybody can't make the Friday morning prayer group or the late Wednesday night prayer group. But you know, there are prayer groups that can happen in your own home. The speaker this weekend was talking about, hey, just before I came in tonight, my family was gathered together. It was him and his wife and his three children. And they were, I think the oldest was maybe 8, 9 years old. And he had his three children there. And his little boy was praying. I think he was 5. And somebody gets saved. That's a prayer group. You know, there's nothing wrong with our families getting together and saying, hey, let's pray for revival. Let's pray for it till it comes. And we can't, you know, when we put on our uniform, it can't be our own. And I was looking at Isaiah chapter 64. And Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 says, but we're all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You know, the righteousness of our own selves. When we say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, and we live in that self-righteousness, we have to understand that's just show. That's putting on the makeup. That's putting on the garments that look pretty, but it's our righteousness, and our righteousness is filthy rags. See, it's the righteousness of Christ that we've got to put on. It's that new garment. You heard them talking about the putting off that old man and putting on that new man. That's that righteousness of Christ that we have to put on our lives every day. It's easy for us to go and pick out those old clothes, put those old clothes back on. And it's easy, you know, sometimes we're like Superman. We change quick. You know, we can have those righteous clothes on and all of a sudden somebody makes you mad and pow! I mean, instantly you're in the old clothes again. And it takes a long time to change back. But we need to go to that section of our closet that we keep those old clothes in and just sort of move them out. Get rid of them. Now, don't give them away. Nobody else needs your old clothes either. But we need to put, we need to focus on having those, that cloak of righteousness. The Jesus righteousness on us. Every day. We ought to get up every morning and dress in that righteousness. And how do we do that? We get up and say, Lord, you know what? Anything I do today in my own power is useless. It's worthless. I need your strength. I need your power, Lord. That I might be a bold witness. That I might be a shining light. That I might, my attitude might be an attitude of one who bears Christ today instead of bears me. Now I say that knowing, and my family sitting back there going, you know, Brother Ricky, he can change him clothes pretty fast. But just like these young people said, pray for me, I want you to pray for me. And I want to pray for you. Because we need a spirit of unity. We all need to be praying for that spirit of revival in our church. I think when we start getting that, when we start kneeling with our families, kneeling in prayer groups and praying and crying out to God, I think we're going to see some more of it. Matter of fact, I know we're going to see some more of it. Because that's something God wants to do. Now, we don't want revival to hit our church so that it just blows up and we have a big mass inrush of people that want to be a part of our church service. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a revived life in Christ with you. If you have a revived life with Christ in you, others will see it. One of the things the speaker said made great sense. You know, God's a big God. If He's inside of you, He's bound to come out somewhere. We can't contain Him in this body. And so the more that we seek Christ, the more full we get with the Spirit, it's bound to ooze out somewhere. And somebody's going to see it. And the more that that happens, the more you're going to be that light. The more you're going to shine. You'll take that bushel off that you got over there. You know, you won't hide that light. And in doing so, others are going to come to Jesus around you. I read a statistic the other day that just blew my mind. It said, 95 to 97% of Christians do not evangelize. Never take the time to witness. 95 to 97%. That's, I think you could call that a majority. We've got to change that. And we change it right here at Crooked Creek. And when we change it here, it'll change somewhere else. People see our light and they'll say, man, I need that. Christians need that. Christians need to show that light. Let's do away with our rags of unrighteousness. And let's put on the righteousness of Christ every day, every morning. And let's wear them all day.